It's that time of the day. It's the 4th Street Sports Show. Let's get it. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. It is your host, Smooth Oz. Alongside me, we have a full house today with Charlie, Jackson, Nathan on the keys, and can't forget about the special Dima. And also shout out to Shania back there. So we have a special show for you today. But before we get this show started, 4th Street would like to share its condolences to the families affected by the devastating storms and tornado that ripped through North Mississippi and West Mississippi too, also with that affected Rolling Fork and other communities as in Amory, and just the destructive path that that tornado took. So we would like to just have a slight moment of silence to begin the show. Thank you. As I stated, we would like to send our condolences to those families. That was devastating and truly heartfelt to see that happen. And we're praying for the resilience of that community. But in other news, we had a lot going on this weekend. Yeah. Guys, we had spring football, pro day today, and baseball this weekend, which Dima was there to cover. And also, March Madness has been going on, guys. I'm a little bit upset right now. The team that I chose to win the championship is out of it now.
Hey, me too. I chose Texas, too.
Yeah, man. Me and Dima were the last ones holding on to dear life with Texas. But I'll pass it over to you, Dima, man. You were there for all three games. Games this weekend, as Southern Miss took on Georgia State and would win that series.
Georgia Southern. Yes.
My bad.
It's funny because I always get that too.
Legitimately,
at the game, I was typing Georgia State on Twitter. Yeah. But I was like, oh, Georgia Southern.
Man.
You know, Georgia Southern, they hosted a regional last year. Really good baseball team. Obviously, Southern Miss knew that. So it was important for them to kind of get a series win. Just for the Southern Miss fans listening, like, you're probably not going to see that many sweeps this year. I mean, Sun Belt baseball is really competitive, and but to get series wins is big. Obviously, crazy weekend. Friday night's game, Tanner Hall probably had his best outing as they won the first game 4-3. Pitched five and a third shutout innings with a season high 10 strikeouts. Music to the ears of Southern Miss fans, Christopher Sargent. Got the scoring gun with a home run, which after he was what they call rested on Tuesday against New Orleans, he did come out on the first pitch that was pitched to him and hit a home run. So that's really – and he had a really good weekend this weekend, honestly, with I think he was 2-for-4 on Friday, then 2-for-4 in the first game on Saturday, then 1-for-3 or something like that. But really good weekend for him. Slade Wilkes obviously had another good weekend as his bat's been really, really popping off. He had another home run in that 4-3 victory. They almost gave it away. It was 4-1 in the top of the ninth, and Georgia Southern scored two runs there and hit one that me and Andrew Abbott thought was out of the park. But Reese Ewing made an incredible catch on Friday night to save that game. Then Saturday was a doubleheader. Southern Miss started the first of the doubleheader, 6-2 lead. Georgia Southern, they're a good baseball team, bounced back, came right back, took the lead 7-6. Then Slade Wilkes responded with a three-run moonshot to right field, which led to some interesting altercations at a home plate. All in all, you can go back and read our story on that if you're really interested in all that stuff. But all in all, a few players got thrown out, the catcher for Georgia Southern, and then a Southern Miss player, and so it was not Slade Wilkes. It was Slade Wilkes in the beginning, but the Golden Eagles won that game to secure the series, but then Georgia Southern won the next game, this time again in the top of the ninth, took the lead with a three-run shot to right field, took the lead and then won the game 10-8. So Southern Miss is now 14-9, 3-3 in conference play. They will meet Ole Miss tomorrow night in Pearl, Mississippi. So Ole Miss beat Southern Miss 13-5 at the beginning of this month. Both teams are unranked. I don't think a lot of people expected that. You know, both teams are unranked. And so, but things, you know, I don't know who y'all think might win that game, but I think if I was to pick right now, I'd say Ole Miss, but
Ole Miss just got swept by, obviously, Florida's a very good team, but starting SEC 0-6, you know, I think that makes things a lot more interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think if you're a Southern Miss fan, you're liking how the bats are starting to, for Southern Miss, come together. But, man, just looking at that lineup for Ole Miss, it's just like, man, do I think that the bullpen's going to – I don't know. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
They were in the game in Oxford. They really were until Slade hit into that double play that kind of took all the momentum out. So, there's your baseball.
Not for nothing, they just announced Billy Odom will start, which they didn't have.
They didn't have him
in Oxford, so that'll be huge.
And they didn't have they did have him. They did have
him. just some housekeeping. I believe it was Bryce Fowler who wound up taking the fall instead of Slade Wilkes on Saturday's transgressions. But let's move on to softball. Southern Miss falls to 15-11 after being swept on the road by Marshall. It's been a tough stretch for Southern Miss. They have now lost 7 straight games and have started 0-6 in Sun Belt play. They have faced the 2 toughest teams to start conference play, though. Louisiana's in the top 25, and the Herd are off to their best start in program history through 30 games. They're 27-3.
Ridiculous.
That's crazy. Extremely. The Golden Eagles, they will return home, but it's not going to get any easier as they face 23-9 Troy, who just traveled to Monroe and took out ULM on the road. Trojans pitcher Leanna Johnson leads the conference in innings pitched and boasts an insane 1.26 ERA with a 17-3 record.
That's a video game.
17-3 record.
That's a dog. And that's going to be another tough test for the Golden Eagles in softball.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll have to see how that one goes.
Whoosh.
Moving on to track and field, they'll actually be hosting something in Hattiesburg not too far away.
Yeah.
So 2 Golden Eagles, this was pretty insane. 2 Golden Eagles after this week rank number 1 in the entire country in their events after showing out at the Florida State Relays. Omar Austin finished first in not only the 200 meter, but placed 2nd with the best time in the NCAA in the 400 meter. And Jared Williams finished 1st in the 110 meter hurdles for the best time in the country. And also the women's 4x100 team took home 1st place as well. So Southern Miss is going to continue their outdoor season at home with the Southern Miss Invitational from March 31st through April 1st at the Marshall Bell Track Complex. So we'll definitely have to get over there.
Yes, definitely.
Some of the runners.
Especially going down the stretch. I mean, Omar Austin, you said ranked number 1 in the nation in the 400 meter, is running a 45.89 right now in the 400 meter. It will be interesting to see if he can break it down to reach that mark of 44 seconds there. So that should be interesting. And going forward, we'd like to see how these guys fare in the NCAA tournament, if they can make it that far.
Yeah, and I know one of the other guys, Palomino, I think, in the high jump has been finishing top 3 at all of his events, too.
Yeah, so it shall be fun to see how far these guys can go, because those are some record times right now in the nation. But in other news, Charlie, you and I were actually at spring football for a little bit and stopped by there this past Saturday. And it was a fun day out there, nice, cool day, a little sunny. But not too bright. But before we get into
what a sentence.
Of course. But before we get into that, Charlie has a special wrap for us on spring football and what's going on right now with the Golden Eagles. We'll be back in a bit.
Spring ball is in the air as Southern Miss football completed its first scrimmage of the spring camp this past Saturday. The Golden Eagles lost many veterans from last season, but look to develop returners who are hungry to step up and take the program in its next step in head coach Will Hall's 3rd year with the program.
You know, offensively, we're just in a better place than any time we've been here. You know, with the ability to execute, our O-line room and our talent and quarterbacks and you know, we're finally able to put our best foot forward there, so we're excited about that.
Southern Miss has had a shaky quarterback situation the last 2 seasons, but the level of competition in the room stood out in the scrimmage. Southern Miss returns Zach Wilkie, but have also added Clemson transfer Billy Wiles and Houston transfer Holman Edwards to the mix. While there's no clear starter, all have stepped up to the plate. They battled it out in the scrimmage, each finding the end zone.
I thought all of them played good. You know, I thought we made some explosive plays. I thought our eyes were right. I thought we made throws that were hard to make. We're just playing at a high level right there.
Star running back Frank Gore Jr. returns, but the team lost its playmaking receiver, Jason Brownlee. Memphis transfer Dreek Clark and Antavius Willis showed depth in the backfield with two explosive touchdown runs Saturday. And receivers Ty Mims and Jacarius Kasten seemed to have a lead in the receiving room, but noted the competition they have as well.
One day, if you ain't on yourself, somebody is next man up. So every day you got to come with the same mentality and just win every day. Being able, everybody competing, everybody learning from each other, just keep going forward.
Dan O'Brien steps up as the new defensive coordinator for the Golden Eagles after a strong year from the Nasty Bunch. But Hall says they will still play a fundamentally same defense.
You know, they don't feel like a lot of changes defensively. You know, Dan's been here. Dan and I are really close. He's been integral in what we've done. You know, the terminology hadn't changed much. I mean, I know what we're doing. We're going to play Southern Miss Will Hall defense.
The defense had some flashes in scrimmage, but struggled with early missed tackles. They were missing five potential starters, so take that with a grain of salt. Still, the Golden Eagles looked to clean up on some of their mistakes and develop their talent with five more practices in the spring schedule. They will return for a final scrimmage on April 1st. This has been Charlie Luttrell for the 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for that rap, Charlie. And as
thank you, Charlie.
As Will Hall stated in the end right there, you know, Golden Eagles now have a new defensive coordinator, but he's been around the program and Dan O'Brien, and Will Hall stated that they're still looking to play, you know, Golden Eagles football, especially, and be the Nasty Bunch and continue that brand that Coach Armstrong started. Charlie, could we just talk a little bit about the defense, and then we'll get into a little bit of the offense and what's to be expected there and what we saw on Saturday?
Yeah, that was really our question before spring camp, and we talked to Heath Hinton on the show about that, and he said things weren't going to change much. You know, Dan O'Brien had been in the system. You know, he'll add his twist to things, but fundamentally they're going to be same Southern Miss Will Hall defense, as Will Hall put it. But yeah, I mean, we really couldn't see much of the defense just because a lot of starters were missing, as we just said. Hopefully they get those guys back. But I'll say the guys who, you know, filled in for them looked pretty good. They, you know, still had Quentin Bivens on the defensive line. I'm blanking on who got that interception.
Josh Radcliffe.
Yes. Yeah. They got some good production on Saturday. And then I think Cameron Knox, one of the younger guys, he might not be starting. He was getting reps, so he looked really fast. He had a good blitz. And Michael Caraway looked really good. That was a name that kept popping up. But also a guy we were talking about just before coming on was Dylan Lawrence. Like that dude is not 6'3". He's at least 6'5", and he moves like, you know, moves like a linebacker, like twitchy. It's crazy. He's gonna be something else. Yes. I think
that one of the biggest differences from last year to this year is that there's definitely going to be size, and they're definitely going to be taller in the secondary. I know you had guys that would play with a lot of heart but not as much size, like Malik Shorts and Natron Brooks, but now you're getting those guys to fill in those holes with guys like Michael Caraway. And then you had younger guys that got a lot of play time last year, like Brandon Toles, a guy that's 6'1" almost, and guys that really have speed on the outside. So that's kind of interesting to see. And the biggest turnover is, of course, the guys on the secondary, you know, losing those guys.
I think that's going to be rough. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of who's going to step up now.
Yeah.
One of the biggest issues that we did see, of course, was the tackling. I mean, of course, it's still spring football. It's fresh. You know, guys are still trying to get back into that mode. But you're going to have those type of struggles starting out. But that was one of the biggest issues that we saw on the defensive end, especially in that secondary, that we'll have to improve. And Coach Hall talked about that. So that's one of the biggest issues that we saw from the defensive side. On the, you know, defensive line, you talked about those guys. Those are guys that have been here from last year that have contributed a lot. Of course, they have guys like Dominique Cuon, who's moved on and who participated in Pro Day today.
that you have to fill in holes and pieces on, but you had guys like Cooley and Bivens that you talked about that are still there, and guys that are veteran guys like Ratcliffe. And also on the defensive end, you talked about guys that were out. You had a lot of linebacker guys and guys that are trying to fill in those holes with guys out like Swayze Bozeman, Hayes Maples, and TQ Newsom, who's been guys that have been staples for the linebacking room. So that's interesting.
I feel like people kind of forget that Hayes and Swayze are still in the mix. Like, obviously have eight guys leaving for the draft this year, but just having those veterans come back and really TQ's got a potential to really grow too. He's high on a lot of NFL kind of scouts already.
Yeah,
talking about his potential, but we'll talk a little about the offense because I think that was really the biggest takeaway from Saturday was how good the offense looked, and not just the QB play, but skill players. You had Rambo and Memphis transfer Dreek Clark each broke out for a 50-plus yard rushing touchdown. Yeah. Just shed tackles, obviously, but they look good. And then the I would say Kasten and Mims, guys who are expected to step up with Jason Brownlee leaving, they look ready to be each. You know, they're competing for that number one spot. And that's good to have, number one and number two receiver. I definitely think if they can stay healthy, they both dealt with some injuries last year, that those are your one and two guys.
Yes, and Kasten talked about that. He said health-wise that he felt the best that he's ever felt in a while, especially during spring ball. And he talked about the injuries that he dealt with of last season and trying to get past those. But Kasten probably had the best catch of the day and probably the best pass of the day from Holman Edwards right there. So he had a corner route that went over to the
beautiful
corner route that was tossed over the safety and the cornerback's head for over the shoulder throw that Kasten just caught.
And that's something that literally Kasten just kind of said out loud was last year, not talking down on them, but that guys were just kind of scared to make those throws. And it could be a bad thing, but he said these guys are letting it fly. That ball was like, that was one of the best balls I've ever seen thrown at a Southern Miss practice. We did not see that last year in practice. And we hadn't been around for the other practices, but from what we've been hearing, that's been happening every day. So that's definitely healthy to hear. That was from Holman. And then I would have to say, Billy looked the part. He was playing with the ones. I'd say Billy had the better day. But then Holman made that beautiful throw, and he was still looking good. So there's a really good competition going on there right now.
Yeah, like you said about that competition, it's shaping up to be down to the wire.
Yeah,
it's
even shaping Zach, up down to the I wire. Would say yeah, still it's, right there.
And Wilkie, he had a productive day. I think he was really the most consistent for drive out of all three. But if we're talking about just pure raw talent right now, Wiles and Holman, they look to be the part right now. And would definitely be the one and the two right now for competing for that spot right now. So we'll see where that goes down the stretch. Spring scrimmage.
Spring game. They don't really call it the spring game anymore. Yeah, they'll say it's like the final scrimmage.
Yeah, the final scrimmage. So the final scrimmage of the season for spring ball will be April the 1st. So get there on Saturday. Shall be interesting to see. So be there. It starts at 9:30 and gets kick-started from there, and shall be interesting to see what goes on in that position battle for the quarterbacks and whatever interesting position battles we have. But we're going to go to break once more, and we'll come back and talk about our coverage on Pro Day.
Yes, we're going to have interviews from three players that we talked to today. From what we heard, all NFL teams were in attendance. We couldn't confirm that, but it looked like all of them. I'll tell you that.
It was a lot of scouts out
there,
it
was a pretty cool event, and definitely really nice to hear the players talk about this whole process and what it means to them.
Of course. We'll be back after the break.
Looking for the place to be at Mondays at 5? Look no further than 4th Street Sports.
14 Southern Miss players participated at Pro Day, and receiver Jason Brownlee is one of the names that have stood out to scouts this offseason. He impressed at the NFL Players Association Collegiate Bowl and participated in the NFL Combine, which helped make this event much easier. Listen to Brownlee talk about what he's learned during this process and how he's feeling with the draft just a month away.
It went good. You know, I ain't do a lot of things because I already did it. But the things that I did do were some of the things that I ain't do at the combine, like the 3-cone and the 5x5. And I just wanted to run routes again just to show them I can run routes and, you know, get in and out of my breaks, catch the ball.
Between today and the combine, just how do you feel about your stock?
Yes, sir. I feel like it's on the rise. I feel like I helped myself out a lot, even more today, you know. And, you know, we just sitting and we're going to wait. We're going to stay. We're going to keep working out, stay in conditioning, and stay ready.
Who all have you talked to?
Talked to a lot of teams, mostly all of them, at the bowl game. And then when I went to come out, I talked to at least 14 to 15 different teams.
What's the experience been like this offseason, you know, going out to California and then going out to the combine? So what have you learned from this process?
I learned a lot, man. Just, you know, believing in myself, you know, putting the work in, putting the time in, grinding it out every day, you know, listening to the people that I'm around because, you know, knowledge is key. And, like, those people, like, just keep building my confidence up. And if you know a lot of things, then it'll help you out a lot. So it's been a fun experience, you know. I had the best time of my life when I was in, at the combine. It was just a dream come true for me. And, you know, just trying to be a motivation.
What have some of the scouts told you about your game?
You know, they like the way I attack the ball. They like the way I like, throw up over people and catch the ball. And, like, they just like my game overall as a player.
How do you think you could help an NFL team on the
roster? In many different ways. Being a deep threat. I can catch over the middle, you know. Just being a playmaker every time the ball touches my hand, like, I can make a big play.
Have you gotten any advice or, you know, reached out to some of the pros, Southern Miss pros in the league?
Yes, sir. I called Tim Jones yesterday, and, like, we were just prepping on. Like, he was just telling me, like, all the things that he had to do at Pro Day last year. So I already had, like, a good, like, mindset coming in to what I'm going to be doing and how I was going to perform. So, you know, I was just prepping beforehand, and I came out here, you know, and I did good.
What's next?
What's next?
What do you do from here?
Just keep grinding, just standing, conditioning, like, staying in shape, you know, and just wait to the NFL draft.
What does it just mean to you knowing that it's almost, you know, a month away and all this work coming to, you know, the draft?
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. It means a lot to me knowing where I come from and, like, how many people don't get out of where I'm from. So, you know, like I said, I'm trying to use this as motivation for them to know that, like, they can do it and they can make it.
A lot more guys out here for this pro day in the past couple years. What does that say about Southern Miss?
We on the rise, you know. We're going to continue to, like, build the athletes around here to bring more scouts in and, you know, like, we can compete with anybody in the country. Like, why not come to Southern Miss?
How you just feel about your overall performance?
I feel good, you know. You know how we do it, G.
That was Southern Miss running back Frank Gore Jr. joining the interview at the end, obviously joking around, but his teammate Brownlee is projected by some boards to be a third-day pick in the draft. So we will stay tuned to where he falls in the NFL. But next is kicker Briggs Bourgeois, who had a day that he thinks can put him on the map in the NFL.
First off, how'd you feel about your performance today out there on the field?
I thought it was really good. You know, I've been training really hard for these past, 3-4 months. I've been with my kicking coach, so yeah, I'm really happy it paid off. So.
What did some of the scouts tell you about today's performance?
They thought I did really well. Big improvement on the height of my ball and stuff. So worked on some kickoffs too during that training period. So I mean, I think it showed today. So
you almost hit that 65.
Yeah, it was about a yard short. We were gonna go like 62, and one of the scouts was like, "Hey, just hit 65." And I was like, "Why not, man?" But yeah, it was just a yard short though.
So. Did you think you had it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I thought it was good.
What's just been the process, you know, this offseason? What have you tried to, you know, improve in your game?
Yeah, so right when we got done with the season, we went off with our kicking coach over there, HKA represent. But we went with him for about 2 months up in Buffalo, New York, and just been training, getting ready for days like today. So,
who all have you talked to?
There's been a couple teams interested, nothing, no, like, for sure team, but, I mean, a lot of people talk to me today, so.
Do do you feel like you're definitely more on the radar after today? I mean, a few claps after.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm a diamond in the rough. You know, not a lot of people know about me, but I think after today, I think people are going to know who Briggs Bougeois is after this.
Briggs, just talking about the day, is this kind of what you expected to, you know, come out and do, especially on this pro day?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like I could barely sleep last night. I was so jacked up, you know. I was like, man, I wish we could kick at midnight last night. So, but you know, just getting out there and just calming yourself down and go back to the basics and produce.
What has this all just meant to you? You know, being a month away from.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of surreal. Like, you know, you grow up thinking about your pro day. You know, you got to Southern Miss, watched a couple guys' pro days, and was like, man, like, you know, like, yours is around the corner, and you blink, and it's here. So.
Now that it's all over, what would you say the biggest thing you learned from today was?
Just be yourself, man. Just swing your swing and be myself. And at the end of the day, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Kind of just what's next for you, man, and you know, what do you have planned going forward?
Yeah, so I'll just be in Hattiesburg working out and training still, and then, you know, if the private workouts come, they'll come, and if not, you know, just keep your head down and keep working, and everything's going to work out.
Are you going to entertain some of the other leagues too?
We'll see what happens, so, but yeah, I would not be against going to those other leagues.
Dominic Kiwan is one of the 8 Southern Miss defenders trying to make it to the next level. Listen to how he has prepared for the draft and how he thinks his game can translate to the pros.
I feel pretty good. Came in prepared. Been training for a long time for this, especially the last 2 months. It's a dream come true, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I kind of capitalized on it. Went 100%, left nothing in the tank. So I feel pretty good about today.
How did you prepare yourself for the day, man? What was, you know, the training regimen for the last two to three months?
I went down to Florida at XBE, and they kind of put me in the right spot, right place, and gave me the perfect program to really come back and put everything into what I've been working on. A lot of just every day, just training, going hard, a lot of stretching, a lot of soft tissue work, just like getting prepared, especially with the little things off the field, with recovery and stuff, that's very important. So the preparation was really good for me, and I can't wait for the next step.
So when you're talking to a scout or a scout's, you know, doing a drill with you, what's the number one thing you're looking to show them when they're talking to you?
Just like during the drill?
Anything, whether they're talking to you or doing a drill.
Well, number one thing really for me is like really intelligence in either talking to them or doing a drill. It all comes down to following directions and going 100%, because the effort is what I think they look for the most. So kind of just doing everything at 100% and making sure I leave nothing in the tank. So.
Who were some of the teams that were talking to you today?
I didn't talk to too many, not yet at least. We just got done. I talked to the Steelers today, but that was really it.
How do you see yourself on the next level, playing where? Has anybody talked to you about playing different positions or anything like that?
Right now, I'm kind of in between because I haven't talked to a lot of teams. They haven't told me anything. Nobody has really talked to me about where they want to see me at, so... I'm really leaning towards like being the edge guy, or just when I get to a team, just making sure I can plug and play anywhere, and making sure I'm versatile and I can be everywhere on the field, especially when I get to a team first, start off with special teams and stuff like that with my way up. So,
Dominic, what would kind of be like some of the conversations maybe or your pitch to the teams when you get that conversation coming up?
Well, they usually ask the questions first, but whenever they ask me to tell me about me or myself. I'm hardworking. I'm gonna follow directions. I learn, especially through reps and stuff like that. But I just want them to know that I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be 100% every time, and I'm ready to go. So.
So report that you were invited to the Saints pro day. Can you talk about that?
Well, it's a great opportunity. I'm ready for it, especially after today, where I kind of. I didn't really just break in, but like, you know, I've been training for the last 2 months, but this kind of opened my eyes to see what's coming up next. So.
Anything else?
Just want to talk about the other guys on the defense. You know, you come out here, big turnout for Southern Miss. Just what have y'all been talking about in that unit? Just, you know, have y'all been trying to guide each other through this process?
This has been a lot of positivity, obviously. We didn't all train at the same spot, so we've kind of kept in touch and been positive with each other. We always talk and look back on the good times and stuff, just like motivating each other. This one, probably one of the last times I'll see everybody in this group all together like this, working together like this. So hopefully I get to meet them again on the same team at the next level or anything. But I got real love for all the guys, and I hope the best for everybody. So.
Southern Miss's players will continue to prepare and wait for their name to be called in the NFL draft, which begins April 27th. To read more about Southern Miss Pro Day, visit sm2media.com to see our coverage on the event. This has been Charlie Luttrell with the 4th Street Sports Show.
That has been our coverage on today's Pro Day for Southern Miss. As you heard from wideout Jason Brownlee, kicker Briggs Bourgeois, and defensive end Dominique Kwan. And as Charlie stated, he wrote a wonderful article on all the things that took place today for Pro Day. So be sure to go to sm2media.com to view that article and check us out on 4th Street Sports on Twitter or on any of our social media links to check it out also. And as we continue our coverage on Pro Day, as those guys continue to chase their dreams to make it to the NFL. We'll be back after the break with our flower section brought to you by University Florists and Gifts on Highway 49.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show as we have our final segment of the day with our flowers segment. As the nice Logan Maxwell announced there, I always love that, guys. Yeah. The little intro to the flower segment. It's so smooth and jazzy.
I love you, Austin.
Thank you, man. I love you too, Demon.
Thank you.
Wow.
Man.
Feeling sentimental here.
Man. Yeah, this is not flowers, hot as
something. Yeah, it was 89 in here last week. Jeez. We're chilling now. We're vibing.
It's kind of still warm in here.
Yeah. Yeah,
what is
now,
it like? Sorry,
now that Austin's back, it cooled off.
Oh, yeah. Smooth off.
You know, I bring the ice.
Ice.
For the people out there that may get it or not.
Younger demographic.
Yeah.
People in Pensacola might.
Hey. All right, 4th Street Player of the Week time. We have a Player of the Week award, which our fans voted for. Thank you for you voting on our Twitter poll every week. And this week we had some really good nominees. Track and field, obviously we said Omar, Austin, and Jared Williams each first in their events in the country. And then baseball, Tanner Hall back to dominating, 10 strikeouts, no runs, season high with that. And then Tate Parker, team high, 4 hits Sunday. They lost that, or Saturday, sorry, in the second game of the doubleheader. They lost that game, but it was the most hits for a Golden Eagle this whole season in a single game. And he played through an injury that, or at least an injury that he... told, we don't know how he's recovering from that, but still the fact that he's able to go out and get 4 hits.
He didn't seem bothered by it.
No, he really didn't. No, that's dog mentality. It really is. So I guess we'll get a little drum roll going right here. And the winner of the 4th Street Player of the Week is none other than Tate Parker. So congratulations. Another baseball player wins. Obviously, have some popularity here. Cross got his flowers last week. We don't have the flowers right now for you, Tate, but we will give you the flowers pretty soon. And
you can
we
give it to his son.
Yes, we can. He has a son. That's an awesome story. Just he's a father dominating in college baseball right now. So I'm pretty proud. Pretty proud.
Shout out to the PRCC alum.
Yes,
Tate Parker,
yes,
man. And national champion. Tate Parker.
Yep.
And we want to give some other flowers, as always. We had to leave Slade Wilkes, unfortunately, out of our nominees. If we could have five on the Twitter poll, we would. So Slade obviously crushed it this week. So honorable nominee right there. And then some other flowers we have. Shout out to basketball assistant coach, friend of the show, Juan Cardona. He was named head coach of the Chilean men's national team. Obviously, know he has experience with the national team, but that's pretty awesome to see him, you know, get called up there. And something I found interesting is he said he is eager to see how this can help expand Southern Miss's footprint in South America. So we could be, you know, seeing some more South American guys coming to Southern Miss, yeah, which is really cool. Line. Yeah, I bet Southern Miss fans like to hear that after seeing, you know, Felipe Asse, all the Chilean players, and then, you know, having Neftali and the other guys from Puerto Rico. So good luck for Juan Cardona there. And we also just want to say, the Pro Day, we had some pretty good performances there. Cam Harrell finished
with the fastest time of the day in the 40 with a
4.47.
A 4.47.
And then Eric Scott, unfortunately, pulled his quad, but before he finished with the best broad jump, it was 11.1.
Yeah, 11 feet and 1 inch.
That was really good. I feel like that might be a reason he pulled his quad, because he got pretty far out there.
I know.
Yeah, and on the vertical.
Also, I was hoping he'd come on the Cowboys so they'd have a chance.
Hey, man, we definitely...
Cowboys were in attendance. Yeah. That's what we also want to say, just shout out to everybody, because, I mean... they got 29 NFL teams to come to Southern Miss Pro Day, so I think lots of those guys have good chances. And, you know, even if they don't make it to the NFL, there's other options right now. Santrell was actually drafted to the USFL, I believe. And so, you know, there's other options out there right now, and lots of these guys, Southern Miss guys, we see work up their way. Even some were kind of open talking about it, you know. That's how you have to do it a lot of times in the NFL, is work your way up to the practice squad. But, you know, having those connections, seeing those scouts out there that, you know, get to know your name, that's always good. So we'll be wishing them the best of luck for the NFL draft, which is just a month away, which is really wild. We'll be looking out for their names.
Yeah, definitely looking out for their names, and definitely just going to check the draft boards, my draft boards, and see what is upcoming for those guys, and just wishing them luck on their future endeavors and their professional careers. But guys, just talking a little bit about basketball now. I mean, the season is almost over for collegiate basketball right now, and the Final Four is set with March Madness. Me and Dima's team, Texas, that we picked, got eliminated yesterday. Born, man.
Though, like, you just never bet on the teams that I pick, Austin, just so you know. So when you picked Texas and saw that my bracket had Texas, that should have been your first thing.
Because every single, I picked Texas,
literally every one of my teams gets like that close. I don't think I'll ever experience the teams.
I haven't really been watching the game so much, but I've been keeping up with it, and I mean it.
Both games yesterday were really good.
Yeah, a lot of people are like disappointed in the Final Four, but man, you cannot be. Like, to have the teams, you know, who have hustled out, like these guys, I mean, that's great to see. And I will say the women's bracket, too, this year has been amazing. Iowa, Caitlin Clark, she is like 40-piece
triple-double.
To see an Instagram comment section finally respect women's basketball and not be talking about, you know, some sexist remarks is pretty insane. I guess all it takes is a 40-point triple-double, which person even in men's basketball history has ever done that in the tournament. So, that's possible Iowa versus LSU or South Carolina matchup. This has been great.
Yeah, we would know someone in here who would like that.
Ah, great tournament. Great tournament.
Yeah, I got a perfect bracket. I'm not disappointed.
I don't know, guys. Just a slight question. Will we ever see a perfect bracket?
No.
This is not at this point.
It is impossible.
Like, because, man.
Especially now with the transfer portal.
Yeah, every year there's been upsets. I mean, I think FAU is a good point of discussion for this show, just because, you know, Southern Miss got blown out by them last year in the CUSA. Yeah. Really, I mean, everybody was saying how good the CUSA was in basketball. And
they could have been a two-bit lead.
North Texas is in the NIT
UAB
semifinals and UAB. Yeah. I mean,
and then you have FAU in the Final Four.
That's crazy.
If FAU wins that, man,
I'm not gonna lie.
I think UConn's gonna win.
Yeah,
UConn is really good.
UConn looks the favorite, but you also have San Diego State out there, who's you know, solid as they come. Yes.
San Diego State.
It's just a great time for the sport. Just to these mid-major teams or whatever you want to call them.
I think Miami UConn on Saturday. That's the national championship. Yeah. That's gonna be a great game.
Some shade thrown.
But I do think if you're a fan of basketball in Mississippi, I think you gotta go for FAU. You got Elijah Martin, who went to North Pike.
I'm not going for FAU.
And then you got Brandon Witherspoon, a guy that comes from a family of hoopers coming from Canton. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm pulling for FAU, man. You gotta love the Cinderella story, man. So, they definitely have a team full of ballers, but we'll see.
Who did they beat in the Elite Eight?
FAU, they beat Kansas State. Yeah, they beat Kansas State. So, we'll see. That shall be fun coming up. That'll be taking place next weekend.
We have a winner for our bracket.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Believe it or not, which I don't even believe this, to be honest, but Kari Archer is the winner for the Brick Bracket Challenge, even though that it is not over.
Dog.
So,
yeah, she already won before the tournament's even over.
She was actually way out in front. The only chance she had of losing with me and Austin won with Texas. So we will have her on the show. For those who don't know, she's my girlfriend.
What an honor. I bet you feel so honored.
That's going to be a great interview.
Seems like this has been rigged, man.
I know. I was like, this is going to feel like it's going to be a rigged or something.
That's where you get your sports knowledge from.
She'll be here next year on 4th Street. You know?
That's a low blow, man.
Anyways, but congratulations to her, and thank you. Thank you to everyone who did participate in that. That was fun to keep up with and stuff.
Of course. So, as always, we thank you for tuning in to 4th Street. Be sure to check us out on all our platforms and continue our coverage on everything Southern Miss Athletics coming up. So, don't miss out. We'll be back next week on Monday, same time, at 5. And that has been all for 4th Street Sports. It has been myself, Smooth Oz. Beside me, I have Charlie Jackson and Nathan and Dima. And in the studio, shout out to Shania stepping in for us today. And want to give a shout out to TR. She's in the studio with us, too. Woo. Shout out to T for joining us, too. And we'll be back next week. This has been all with 4th Street Sports.
Hasta luego.
Come back next Monday at 5 on Southern Miss Radio. 4th Street Sports, baby.